Can we give God some praise for this new morning that we have here at church? I'm really excited about today's message. I get excited about every message. I won't lie to you. I get excited. I love preaching God's word. But it's one of those that really, it's going to really challenge us. And it's one of those words that everyone needs to hear. Father, I thank you for this morning. Father, I would pray that you would just use me now to speak your word. And Lord, just touch our lives, touch our hearts, Father, and bless us this morning, Lord. Pray this in your son's name. Amen. Well, I want to read to you from the passage of Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. But Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 45, it says this: the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his what? Heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up where? His heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. I'm going to be speaking to you this morning on the subject of watch your mouth. How many of you need help with this area in your life? Yeah? All right. I admire the honesty. Because for the past few weeks, we've kind of been talking about guarding your heart from kind of like things from the outside coming in. And we've talked about keeping your guard up from guilt and bitterness and the divided heart and being real careful of what comes into your life. But we're going to kind of flip the script this morning as we kind of go into this new area of protecting your heart. And it's not so much watching out from what's coming from outside in, but now we're going to keep guard of letting what's inside of us come out. Anyone ever make a mistake in what they've said? Yeah? Well, we're going to deal with that. Because if there's anything in life that's getting a lot of us in trouble, is our mouths. You ever said, oh, me and my big mouth? Oh, why did I say that? What was I thinking? We all struggle in this area. In fact, let me share with you something that happened to me. You know, recently I was at the gym about 2 weeks ago, and I was really sore, and my body was achy, so I decided to go into the hot tub that they have there at the gym. And as I made my way into this hot tub, and there was this young gentleman there. We were just talking and getting to know each other. I just love meeting new people. And all of a sudden, I see this pregnant woman walking into the hot tub. And I look at her like, I don't think she knows that you shouldn't be in a hot tub when you're pregnant. And I see the sign right next to her saying, you know, if you have a child, you shouldn't be in here. So I'm thinking, here's this lady. She's standing right next to the sign that says, if you're pregnant, do not go in here. And she's obviously pregnant. So I'm here thinking, What's wrong with her? So she makes her way inside the tub and both feet are in there. And I stop her. And I said, hey. And I grab her attention. And I said, look, I don't know if you saw the sign, but I don't think it's healthy for you and your child to be in this hot tub. And she looked at me, right? You know as it's going. And I'm expecting applaud, you know. I'm expecting, oh, thank you, you saved my child. And the look she gave me was like the gates of hell opened up in her eyes. And she says, what child? The shock in my face. And I looked at the guy next to him, and he's like, you're on your own, buddy. Like, Oh, man. And she was in her first trimester. Like, I saw it. It was there. And she just casually walked away. I'm not exaggerating. She just walked away. And I realized there, my goodness, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That was in my heart. But I should have stayed there. You know? Should have kept that guard. You want another one? 2 months ago. This is worse, believe it or not. 2 months ago, I was in this dinner for pastors. Yeah. Room full of these real holy people. Awesome. And your pastor, there's like this buffet line or whatever, and we're serving food. And you ever make the mistake that you know you're not supposed to do this, but you eat from the buffet, right? Like you just want to try something out before you put more in. So there were these meatballs there. And I put a meatball, and as quickly as it went in my mouth, it just spit out. It was horrible. It tasted disgusting. And so, whatever. I sat down, and I remember it was a round table, 12 pastors and their wives, and my friend Joe is next to me, and I see in his plate the meatballs. And I go out loud, I said, "Oh, Joe, don't do it, man." And he's like, "What?" And I go, "Bro, those meatballs are disgusting." And I emphasized the word disgusting. I gave him the Greek translation and everything. I was like, "Hey, listen, that is nasty. Don't do it, man. It's nasty." And his wife leans over and she goes, "Hey, Dave," with a smile. She goes, "Guess what dish I brought today?" And I went, "Oh, no, don't tell me." And she's like, "Yeah, those are my meatballs." And I went, "I know, I'm just kidding, you know? But she knows, you know, she knows." And Joe, I know you're listening because he listens to us online. I'm sorry, buddy. Please call me back. But anyway, your mouth can really... Now, how many of you right now are thinking about a time you've slipped with your mouth? Yeah, we've all done it. You can't look at me and say, "Oh, shame on you." You know, there's a Bible verse that says if anyone has ever not slipped with the tongue, he's a perfect man. And that's an exaggeration, because none of us are perfect. The Bible is clear that you will mess up when it comes to your mouth. You will say the wrong thing. You will utter something. And you know what's interesting? Words are very powerful, aren't they? We can forget anniversaries, we can forget dates, we can forget events. But man, can't you remember something someone said to you 20 years ago? Or have you ever heard, "Man, I'll never forget the time you said"? Words penetrate the heart so deeply that it can stay with us. They're so powerful and effective, and they can work on your behalf, or they can work against you, amen? And you got to be real cautious how you use your tongue. And the Bible is talking about that there's things in our hearts that we need to keep inside of us and never let out. Thinking, why does that, what does that even mean? Because there are things inside your heart that only God knows about, and only God should know about, and only God should work on, and we should never let it out. There are things in your heart you may feel about a person, but God should be the one dealing with that in your heart. And I should never let it out. That's what the Bible's talking about. From your heart, the real you comes out. What you're really going to say is what you feel. And that's why you got to be real cautious. Remember this. Words are like toothpaste. Because so easy, look at this, effortlessly, to just squeeze that out. Anyone that has arms can squeeze toothpaste. Just like that, it's so easy. But let me also tell you something. Let me tell you what's not easy. It's putting it back in. Do you understand that it is virtually impossible to get all this toothpaste back in this bottle? No matter how much I try, that's impossible. That's how your words are. It is so easy to say what you're feeling, so easy to express your opinion. You don't have to think twice to just let out anything from your mouth. But it is impossible to take your words back. It is impossible to hit rewind or erase. It is impossible to say, "Oh, I take it back." You ever say that? "Oh, I take it back." No, you don't, because you can't. So remember that toothpaste. Because as easy as it is to squeeze a word out of your mouth, it is impossible to ever take it back. Your wife will remember what you said. Your husband will remember what you didn't say. Your kids will remember people will remember your words. And it comes out so easy out of our mouths. But you can never take it back. Do you understand that? Now, I hope with understanding that, you also understand why we have to be so careful with what we say. Because if you're saying, listen, it is impossible to really take my words back, and words are really powerful, then let me ask you something. Why are we so reckless when it comes to our mouth? Why do we just utter things that we don't even think about? Why do we say things that really just, we just speak our mind? You ever said that, oh, I'm just speaking my mind? But from experience, your mind sometimes doesn't make sense. And a lot of us need mental help. Amen? So you, with that said, don't ever say, oh, I'm speaking my mind, because your mind's not all up there either. So we need to be very cautious of what comes out of us. Because words, number one, are powerful. They're very effective. You can never take them back. And they will cause harm to someone's life. And they will cause harm to your life. Have you ever thought about that? But we easily just express ourselves. And we just say what we're thinking and what we're feeling. We're quick to gather up a group and gossip about someone. And talk about someone. Not thinking about the words that are coming out of us. And the effect that it has. Look at James chapter 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. When the Bible says take note, it says listen, you better listen to this. You better remember this. Take notes. So it says this, takes note of this. Everyone should be quick to what? Listen. I love this. Slow to speak. This is not to take literal sense and say, speak slowly. That's not what that means. What it means to speak slow is literally translated, before it comes out, ponder what you're about to say. Think about what's going to come out of that mouth of yours. Can I ask you a question? How many of you are slow speakers? We're not. We're quick to just utter the first thing in our minds. I should have thought slowly. I should have spoken slowly, pondered my thoughts in that hot tub. I should have said, what if she's not pregnant? What if I really miss this one and I scar her for life? What if I should have really thought? But what happened was that all of a sudden, as quickly as I thought it, it's as quick as it went out of my mouth. How many of you struggle with that? Take note of this. Do you really take the time to say, before I say this, how is it going to affect this person? Is this really going to be beneficial to this person's life? How is this conversation I'm engaging in with these group of people, how is it really building each other up? You see, we don't take the time to think slowly about the consequences of our words. We don't take the time to think and ponder. What I'm about to say, how would the other person react? Think about next time someone cuts you off in traffic and you just want to utter the first word that comes out in your head. Amen? Think about the next time your wife asks you, does this make me look fat? Ladies? Men, it's a trick. It's a trick. It's a trap, guys. The answer is no. Don't ever, and I hear guys, no, just being honest. Look, don't be honest. That's the first time, you know. In church, we'll say, like, no, I'm kidding. But seriously, your wife's going to ask you things like, hey, do you think she's pretty? Do you think that girl's pretty? Can you be slow to think? And if you would say, what girl? Oh, right, ladies? Yeah, good answer, right? Yes. If you would say, what girl, sweetie? Oh my goodness, you win. Next time, men, your wife makes dinner and she says, how was it? Don't you ever say, well, it's not like my mom's. Be slow. Slow to think. Next time you want to make a comparison and say, hey, why can't you be more like so-and-so? Think of how that's going to affect that person. Anyone ever guilty of that? Any of those or more? Because it's so interesting to me how quick our mouths can get us in trouble and how powerful our words are. Yet how reckless we become when it comes to using our words. And we don't think twice what I'm about to say, how is it going to affect them? If we as a church would learn the words that are coming out of my mouth, would God approve? Do you realize the life-changing concept? How your life would be so transformed in your speech if we would listen to James chapter 1 and be slower, be more cautious to think before we speak. Amen? As you think about that, let's go to Psalm chapter 141, verse 3. It's a prayer that David said that I'm really honestly convicted about that we should pray every day. Set what? A guard over my mouth. O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. How many of you need this prayer in your life? Yeah. I don't know why David wrote it. Maybe he slipped. Maybe he said the wrong thing to his wife. I don't know. Maybe he's on the couch. I don't know. But David said, Lord, I really need you. And he's on his knees probably, and he's praying, and he says, please, God, today, put a guard over my mouth. And that word guard is literally illustrated here as someone that has a full attention, that's protecting the door. The idea is a guard would stand in the door, and his eyes would be open to anything that was around him, anything that was harmful. He would protect the door at all cost necessary. He would be very careful what went into his mouth and very careful what came out of it. And the guard there will be very attentive. So when David is saying, God, put a guard over my mouth, what he is literally praying is, Lord, help me to be more cautious, to pay more attention to what's about to come out of my mouth. Let me ask you a question. How many of you pay real close attention to the words that come out of you? Do you really stop to think and pay attention to what you're really talking about? What you're really saying? How you're really affecting this person or infecting them with your gossip or your slander? Do you really put a guard over your mouth? Because a lot of our guards have fallen asleep in our mouths and we're letting anything come in or out. Amen? And we're not even thinking twice about what we're saying. And David is on his knees and he is praying. Lord, I really need help with my mouth. I really need help paying more attention, being real attentive to what's about to come out. Because I'm really messing up when it comes to this area. And I know a lot of us here are struggling with the guard in our mouth. We're just letting things out, not thinking about the effect that it has on a person. Words affect people. Words can affect you positively or negatively. One positive word could encourage anyone for the day. And one negative word can discourage anyone for life. And just like that, we're just saying anything. about anyone, about anything, and we're just letting our words slip out of our mouths. And one of the most frightening verses I've ever read is in Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21 says this: the tongue, you all have one of these. The tongue has the what? Power of life and death. The tongue has both power of life and death. Your tongue could be used for two different directions. That word life there, for example, is describing to bring healing, to bring strength, to bring encouragement, to bring power to someone. One word you say could do all that to a person. One positive word can bring healing to a person that's down and discouraged. One word of encouragement, one compliment can really pick someone up. That's what it means to bring life to your words. But on the flip side, when you use your words to bring death, that's to cause severe pain to someone. That's to really discourage someone. When the words talk about death, it's talking about to bring weakness to someone. Now let me ask you this. Do you use your words to bring life into people? Or are you like a grim reaper and you're just walking around killing people? And you're like death. You're quick to discourage someone when they're not acting right. You're quick to remind someone what they're not doing right. You're quick to criticize, and you're quick to just say a sharp comment to someone when they offend you. Oh, no, you didn't. You just go out there for the kill, don't you? Then you're bringing your words for death. And a lot of us are quick to kill and destroy someone with our words. But you cannot remember the last time your words brought life to someone. When was the last time you shared a kind word to someone? When was the last time you encouraged your husband? You empowered your wife? You told your kids how proud of them you are? Oh, when was the last time your words truly healed a person? We need to think about this. Because I find that so many of us are quick to criticize, but we're slow to encourage. We jump at it when someone messes up and you're quick to just say something. But when someone does something right, oh, I'll tell them another time. Can I get a witness about that? Yeah. Why is that? Why is it that it has become so easy for Christians to speak death on people's life? To speak words that will scar them for life? But when it comes to words that can really heal a person, we just hold it in. What if you would reverse that? And you would hold in the things that would honestly kill a person's spirit, but you would just let out life by your words. And it's easy. I'm telling you, it is simple. I did this for this week because I was studying this, and I said, for the next week, I will not say one bad thing about anyone. I will not criticize anyone. And that is the one week that the devil showed up and people just messed with me. That was the one week that people cut me off. That was the one week that that old lady at the Walmart, I'll never forget her, she just, there's 20 items and she has a whole cart. And the lady in the register, oh, ven para acá. I'm like, no, you can't ven para acá. Look at the sign. And I was like, and I wanted to say something. But I remember God said, hey, remember that promise? I was like, oh, you know. And I was really extra. I'm telling you, I was extra life-giving. I was like one of these clear things bringing life to people because I went to the toll lady and she went, hey, how are you? I'm like, hey, how are you? And I said, and you know what I did to the lady in the tow? I said, hey, thanks for what you do. And she goes, I don't do anything. I just take change like that. And I was like, yeah, but that's an important job. Okay, bye now, you know. And, I would encourage people. And I went to the gym. I can't find that lady anymore. She probably quit, you know. But I would tell people, hey, you're looking good. Hey, and people would actually respond. That's giving life to your words. But a lot of us all week long, we're just bringing death. And can I just tell you something? There are people out there in need of life. Amen? There are people out there alone in need of an encouraging word. There are people out there. There's a young girl out there somewhere waiting for someone to remind her that she's beautiful. There is a young teenager out there waiting for someone to remind them that they have great things for their future. There is a wife out there begging for her husband to call her beautiful. People are looking for life. And it is the Christians that are not doing it. I'll never forget when my mom had cancer. And the beginning stages where her hair began to fall off. And women, you would understand this. Your hair is everything to you, right? You know, and guys, whatever, we lose it, we adjust. But women, their hair is everything. And my mom, actually, I was with her at the time when I was living there. And I would take care of her in the mornings. She came with clippers. Remember that, Mom? And she asked me to just shave off the remaining hair that was left because her hair was just falling. And my mom, you know my mom, right? Her hair is her hair, you know? And when her hair fell off, you could see just her skin and her and bald, it was something mind-blowing because I've never seen my mom like that. And women, you can understand the pain that you would be feeling and the lack of beauty you would feel, right, ladies? And I'll never forget, as I'm sitting in the living room, and it was the first time that my father would come home from work and see his wife, who his entire life has had long flowing hair, completely bald. Wouldn't you say that, Mom, you were saying, I need life right now? I need a word of encouragement? And my dad walks in, takes one good look at her, kisses her in that same head, and says, I didn't marry you for that hair. I married you for the person that you are. And what Dad didn't realize is when that came out of his mouth, it came into her heart and brought life to her. It encouraged her. It strengthened her. Now, if my dad would have said, don't worry about it, there's great wigs out there, can you imagine? It'll grow back. Something that simple would have brought death. It would have caused pain. It would have caused discouragement. That's how cautious we have to be with our words. As Christ followers, like Christ that you're following, you need to bring life into other people that are living a life of death. And your words do that. But a lot of us are missing it. A lot of us are just wrecking balls. Because I was walking down the street 3 years ago when they were tearing down the stadium where the Heat used to play, and I saw this massive wrecking ball. And it just swung. And as quick as it swung, it just tore that building one pit at a time. And it kept swinging away. And the building would take these hits. And there came a point where it couldn't take the hit anymore. And the building just collapsed. And I saw that. And that image stayed with me. And I was thinking about this week. How so many of us are like a wrecking ball. You're quick to just use your tongue to bring destructions to others. You're quick to just criticize someone, and you're there criticizing, and you pound them, and you're like, oh, you never do this, and you always do this, and you're there to judge them, and you criticize. A lot of us use our tongues to just talk bad about others to that group of friends you have, and you're just gossiping, and you don't realize the reputation that you're ruining when you speak about ill about someone. You're just there using your tongue for evil, and you're there criticizing and judging, and your tongue brings discouragement, and someone cuts you off, and you curse them out, and you tell someone, well, you this and you that, and you get the point, and our tongues are just swinging away, hitting people where it hurts. How many of you love to hit people where it hurts and use your words to say, oh, and your tongue just brings pain to them? And this is how so many Christians are living. We're wrecking balls. We're quick to just use our words to bring destruction upon a person that will never help them. It will never build them up. It will only bring them down and discouraged. But yet there you are, quick to use your words to hurt them. Quick to share a piece of your mind. Amen? You're quick to just painfully give it to them. And you're quick to say, well, you never, and you always, and you, I just can't believe you. And you know, I don't understand how we as Christians have become wrecking balls. Because the Word of God here tells us that our words are to bring life to people. Your words, your speech, your conversation should build a person up. Like this fellow here, the excavator. You know, the excavator can also destroy things. It has the power to destroy. It has the potential to wreck things as well. But it is used to dig up a foundation to build. Now, what side are you on? Are you on the wrecking ball side? Are you one of these Christians that you're quick to tell a pastor a thing or two? You're quick to tell a church member a thing or two? You're quick to judge and criticize? And oh no, you didn't. Erdoma! There I said it. And there you go. And you're there to just wreck them. And you like to destroy people. Are you on this side? Are you quick to build a person up when they're down? Are you quick to encourage someone? Are you there to really build a foundation in a person's life to really bring them up and encourage them? Because this is what God wants for our lives. He's looking for us to stand on this side. You could destroy them, can't you? Yeah? You could say a thing or two and really give it to them. You could really offend them right now. But you choose to build them up instead. How many of you need to put the wrecking ball away already? Show me your hands. Because we're quick. We're quick to destroy a person with our tongue. And it brings life or death. You can build someone up or really discourage them. Can we go to James chapter 3, verse 9? With the tongue, we praise our Lord. That's what we did today. We sang with worship and everything. We praise God. We praise our Lord and our Father. And we curse men? who have been made in God's likeness? Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. It is so disgusting to God to see that mouth of yours that you just finished praising with and worshiping with. It's so disgusting and detestable to the Lord to see that with that very mouth you just praised me with, you're going to honestly curse this person out. With that same mouth you thanked me for the things I've given you in your life and you've praised me with, you're honestly going to use that same tongue to gossip about someone? You're really going to use that same mouth that you praised me with to bring destruction into a person? Do you really think that's okay with God? If you praise God this morning, you better not curse anyone. If you worship God with your mouth, don't you use that wrecking ball. James was writing this because the church of God here, the church here in James, they were quick to go to church. They were so quick to worship, and you can see the worship team there singing and the people clapping and they're praising and they're saying, oh, bless you, brother, and God bless you, and God, we love you, God, you're so awesome, God. And then after church service ended, the group got together and they would talk bad about each other and they would slander each other and they would gossip about each other and they would curse each other out, and neighbors were against neighbors and husbands were against wives and their mouths were so filthy. And James had to write a letter and saying, what is wrong with you people? This shouldn't be. And can I tell you why it shouldn't be? It's because you are a Christ follower. You are a Christian. And when you follow Christ, your words should bring honor to Him, not cursing. And here we are saying, God, I love you, God. I want to sing for you. I want to serve you. I love church. But after you leave the church doors, you're really going to use that same mouth to destroy a person. And James had to write this letter saying, what's wrong with you people? And if James were here today, he would write a book and saying, this shouldn't be. How could we stand here with our mouths and praise our Lord, but yet with that same mouth, you're going to talk about someone that you has not even your business? You're going to criticize that person that hurt you? You're really going to use that wrecking ball after you just finished praising me? This shouldn't be. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, this shouldn't be. It shouldn't be happening, but it is. You tell them. No hitting. No wrecking ball. This shouldn't be. And I don't even have to ask. Because I know today, in our church world, we're living James chapter 1. We're living James chapter 3. The church is filled with praisers and gossipers, worshipers and slanderers. Amen? Yeah, I know it hurts because we're all guilty. We all stand here and have this face to worship God. Yet bring death upon a person and criticize them? When we know that our words are so powerful and our words are so effective, let's go to verse 3 and 6 of James chapter 3. I want to read this whole thing for you guys. When we put a bit into the mouth of a horse to make them obey us, and we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder and wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. And consider what a great forest fire is set on fire by what? A small spark. Do you ever consider your words to be just so small? Well, all I said was, but I just expressed my opinion. That's what's getting you in trouble, buddy. The Bible is clear and it makes three illustrations: a horse, a ship, and a fire. And I went to a rodeo yesterday with Gano and his son and my dad. And it was, you know what fascinated me? We saw this huge horse, 1,000 pounds even, and muscular and everything. And it had to have been like a 10-year-old girl, right? A 10-year-old girl controlling that bad boy, telling it where to go. You go left, I'll go left. I'll go right, I'll go right. She had nothing on this horse. But the horse was so controlled because it had a bit. This small, in his mouth. And it controlled him. And then it talks about a ship. Huge, massive Carnival Cruise Line. And the rudder, have you ever seen it? Compared to the cruise? It's like a little thing. It's like nothing. But it steers. Those two illustrations, get this. What James is talking about is your tongue has a potential to set the course for your life. Did you know that? It has the potential to take the course. It will steer you into good places or bad places. If you want your marriage to go on a good course, use your tongue wisely. Amen? If you want your children to grow up loving the Lord and strong, and that's a course you want them to take, how are you using your tongue? Are you talking to them about the Lord? Are you giving them a good example about your speech? Your tongue has the power to set the course for your life. That should scare you. And then it talks about a fire. A small spark can destroy acres and acres of land and homes and people's lives. So the first two illustrations are setting the course for your life, but the last illustration frightens me because what it's saying here is that your words could bring utter destruction to a person's life. Your words can set someone on fire and destroy them. Something so small in your mouth and something so small that you say can cause severe damage. And what the Bible is clear about is that we have to watch our mouths because it can set the course for your life and it can really destroy someone. How many of us have set fire to someone's life because of your words? How many marriages are destroyed because of something someone said or didn't say? How many children are discouraged and so down because of something that their parents said to them years ago? That spark can destroy a person's life. And we're so quick to light it all up on fire. We don't care how it hurts, how it affects, or anything. I want you to really think about this. We've learned that the mouth is so powerful. And it could affect someone both positively and negatively. What are you using your mouth for? James said it best when he said, hey, use your tongue to bring praise to the Lord. Bring praise to God. When he used that word praise, that word praise in the Greek where it was originally written, when James wrote it in the Greek, he used the word eulogia. It's where we get the word eulogy from in the funeral. And a eulogy is when we stand up. And what do we say? Good things. Even if we hate the guy, we lie, right? And we say, oh yeah, I'm gonna miss him. And we say, and we just encourage, and we strengthen, and we tell people, oh, they mean so much to us, and they're so great, and we're gonna miss them, and remember the times, and you just encourage and speak well and lift them up in the funeral, but I don't get it because they're dead. Why do we wait for someone to die to then talk good about them? And when they're alive, we kill them. I don't understand it, and it angers me. When we look at Whitney Houston, for example, oh, now we say how wonderful she was. Now we say how she had an amazing voice. But I want you to look at headlines. Look online just 6 months prior to her death, how they would call her a crackhead. And she's washed up, and she'll never make it. She's done. Oh, but now when she's dead, oh, let's give the eulogy. Let's lift her up. Let's encourage her. When James said, you give the eulogy to God, you use the eulogy for people, what he's saying is everything that comes out of your mouth should encourage them. It should build them up. It should lift them up. That word eulogy, when you go in deeper into the definition, it means approval. It means approval and encouragement. Can I ask you this question? The words that are coming out of your mouth lately, would God approve? And would it encourage that person? Because if it wouldn't, then set that guard. Don't you say it. Some of us don't give eulogies to people when they're alive. Oh, I'll wait till you're dead to show you how much you mean to me. I don't get it. We should have eulogies at Ford when the people are alive and say, this week we're going to honor Rachel. We're going to give a eulogy. And I'm going to just say all the good things about her. I'm not going to wait till you're dead, Rachel. But we need to give the eulogy. We need to build each other up. Your words should encourage, bring strength, bring healing, bring motivation to someone's life. But yet, we're on this side. And all you do is bring destruction to people. Talk bad about someone. You know what breaks my heart? When I meet once a month with these pastors, I meet with over 75 pastors once a month in this room. And we are all over Dade County. You know why? Because we need to encourage each other. Do you know why we need to encourage each other? Because our church has shred us apart. And pastors get together. And I hear the story, oh man, I got this letter, I got this email, and they said this, and they're distracted, and they just beat them up. And we're so quick to criticize and judge and slander, but we're so slow to encourage and build up and lift up and bring motivation to someone. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with us? As Christ followers, this should not be. We need to be a people to say, Lord, I need to build my family up. I need to encourage my son. I need to build up my wife. I need to build up my husband. And I need to stop wrecking them with my words. You want to hear something fascinating? Did you know that telling your spouse, I love you, once a week can add 10 years to your marriage? Did you know that? When was the last time you looked at your wife and said, I love you? And if that, you can look back 20 years ago on our wedding day, there's something wrong with that, man. When's the last time you looked at her and said, you're so beautiful? Wife, when was the last time you looked at your husband and said, I'm glad I married you? You're like no other. You're really like no other. But when you utter words like that, you're bringing the eulogy. You're encouraging. You're building them up. When was the last time you grabbed your children and said, I'm proud of you? One word can bring so much life to a person. When was the last time you looked at anyone in your life and just tell them what they mean to you and build them up? Think about this. Because if we sit here and I see a lot of pondering faces, I need to think, when was the last time? Then you know that you're on this side. Because if I tell you when was the last time you criticized your spouse, you can say, oh, yesterday. Amen? Yeah. When was the last time you told your child, you know, something bad? And you're, oh, yeah, I remember. Stop being such a wrecking ball. That's not cool, man. No one likes that. If you're a person that's always complaining and criticizing, I'm not going to hang out with you, bro. I'm sorry. We need to build each other up. Because people are in need of life, and your words bring life. But can I tell you something that also destroys? The things we don't say. When you hold it back. When your wife looks good, but you're kind of embarrassed to tell her because you don't want to get all mushy, man, you tell her. Honey, you look hot. That will pick her up. When you don't hold back compliments. Don't hold back encouraging words. When your kids finally do something right, don't say it's about time. Say, I'm proud of you. Thank you. Oh, I'm so glad. Don't you ever use your words to bring someone down. Parents, don't ever tell your children, well, look at so-and-so's kids. Why can't you be more like so-and-so? Because your words will bring life. Let me tell you one thing, and I don't tell, this is the first time I'm telling this to you guys. I am a pastor today because of the words of life that my parents spoke into me. Because when I received the call to be a pastor, the only people that believed in me first was my family. And my parents will tell you of a time that a pastor of the church I was in called in four other pastors into the office and sat me down. And they go, David, we want to talk to you. We don't think you have what it takes to be a pastor. You're just too out there. You just don't have the look. True, Mom, right? And they would say, David, you should really consider something else. Because you're not like other pastors. And the words of death were there. And I remember being so discouraged. I remember walking saying, what if they're right? They even said, you're not smart enough to go to seminary. They said that to me. And they're right. I'm not right up here. I know it. I know. I'm not. But can I tell you something? The The one thing I remembered that kept me encouraged was that I spoke to my parents first. I feel the Lord calling me into ministry. And my parents said, son, you can do it through him. And the words of life penetrated. And I felt like Forrest Gump in that office. Well, mama says, I can do it. My mama told me that through God, all things are possible. So whatever, you know? And can I tell you something? Last month when I had a meeting, guess who was there? Those four pastors. And I felt like doing this to them. Hey, look at me now, huh? Huh? I'm a pastor now. Huh? Yeah, what did you say? But man, I joined this side and I said, hey, thank you for your encouraging words. I kid you not. I said, it's people like you that motivate me to prove them wrong. I said, and I felt so good. And I said, Lord, forgive me. But I had parents that spoke the word of life into me. When I was discouraged. When I wasn't the brightest light bulb in the ceiling, you know, and I had problems in school and I wasn't, man. But they spoke life into me. And those words I carry with me. That's how powerful words are. But if my mom or dad would have said, well, maybe they're right, I probably wouldn't even be here right now. Do you understand now how powerful your words are? The words you speak have a profound effect into your spouse, into your children, into your coworker, to your friend. Yet we're so reckless and we can never take it back. So I want to close with two verses. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only. Can you highlight that? But what? Only. What is helpful? For building others up. If you would just ask yourself, would my words help this person out right now? Oh, it's constructive criticism. No, it's not. It's criticism, all right? Build each other up. Have your words lately toward your spouse, towards your children, towards that person, have they really been building you up? How many couples do I have here this morning? You married couples, yeah. Man, stand up. All the married couples here, stand up to your feet where you're at. Give them a round of applause. Yeah. Would you turn to your wife right now? You go over there. Come on. This is going to hurt, huh? Husbands, right now, say one encouraging word that you honestly mean about that husband of yours. Husbands first, tell your wife something. Come on. Did you do it? Husbands first, Kano, it's your move. One encouraging word. Why are you shaking, bro? Now, wives, look at your husband. Give him one encouraging word. Come on. What you honestly mean. Look at their faces. You see that? You see how words work? This should be a daily habit for you. You shouldn't have to be in church and have your pastor tell you to do this. It should be something so natural to build them up every day. Because every day your husband and your wife is in need of life. And only you can give it. And your children and so on and so forth. And I pray that your mouths change when we leave this church today. This week when you want to criticize your boss. When you want to criticize someone. You remember these words. You know, the book of Matthew, chapter 16, it says that we would have to give an account for every careless word to God. Can you imagine God getting every word that came out of your mouth and you have to explain why you said that? That should frighten you. That should scare you. When God says, hey, this conversation you had, what was that about? Why did you say this to this person? That should frighten you. Psalm 19:14. We all stand up to our feet as we read this. The word of God says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of what? My heart. Let my mouth and what's in my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. If you would hit this verse as a question, let me ask you this. Are your words pleasing to the Lord? Would the Lord be pleased with the conversations you have with people? Would the words that are coming out of your mouth please God? Think about that. Because I know that all of us needed this message today. Because your words are powerful and can cause so much harm. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed right here today, do a special calling today. We need to pray today for the Lord to set a guard in our mouths. Because some of us have left our guards at home. Our guards have fallen asleep on us. We haven't paid much attention to anything we're saying. Some of us here today need to repent of the things that have been coming out of us. Some of us need to confess before the Lord that our words have not been pleasing to Him. Some of us here need to stop praising God if you're going to curse someone right after this service. With that said, if your prayer is a prayer of David, oh Lord, set a guard over my heart and I want all my words to be pleasing to you, would you slip your hand up where you're at? Fathers, as these hands go up in the air, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage them. Speak words of life to everyone all around them. I pray, Father, that husbands build up wives and wives encourage husbands and parents just bring a movement of motivation to their kids. Father, I would pray that you would set a guard over our mouths, that every word that come out of us be honorable and pleasing in your sight. Help us, Lord, not to be so reckless with our words. Help us, Father, think, to be slow in our speech and think before we speak. And Father, I pray right now because I know that in this room today, there is someone that needs to call a person up, needs to write a letter to someone, and needs to bring life into a person that you have been bringing death to. And I pray, Father, that you would give them encouragement to do so. And forgive us for our reckless words. In Jesus' name, this is our prayer, oh Father. Well, can we just give some praise to our Lord? Because I'm telling you, I think a lot of us needed this. And I've been loving this series, and there's, you know, it's been such a blessing to me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this message. Father, thank you, Lord, for correcting us and convicting us. Father, help us to join not the wrecking ball side, to leave that side, Father, and join the excavator side, knowing that we have the power to destroy, but we choose to build instead and encourage. Help us, Father, to become so good at giving eulogies every day to people. Speak words of approval and encouragement. And let our words be pleasing to those that hear us, Lord. Father, we pray for forgiveness over our sins. We pray, Father, forgiveness over any reckless word that has uttered out of our mouths while we still have the nerve and the audacity to praise you. Forgive us for praising you with our tongues and cursing others with it as well, Lord. I pray that all slander, all gossip, any filthy language, anything, Father, in Jesus' name, be removed. And that we bring life to those all around us with our words. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's church said,